You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Jason Campbell will be the starting quarterback for the Browns when they take on the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend in week number 8 of the NFL season, the third starting quarterback for the Browns this year. Coming up on the show, Scott Petrak will join us at 1:30. Scott, Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star, 2:15. Gerard Cherry, of course, at 2:45. We want to hear from you as well, though. This is a bit of a turnover Wednesday, a turn the page on Brandon Whedon Wednesday. So you can hit us up at 216-578-0850 or tweet us at Browns_daily for your comments. You know, Vic, we were talking during the show, before the show, during, you know, and everything. I don't want Browns fans to get their hopes way, way up here with Jason Campbell. I think you guys need to be, I'm the pom-pom guy, et cetera, but just be realistic. Number one, going to play, you know, one of the toughest defenses, if not the toughest defense. This team's got 11 sacks in the second half of their last two games.
Yeah.
They can get to the quarterback. They lead the NFL in sacks.
They
are crushing quarterbacks. They're giving up the lowest quarterback rating to quarterbacks this season, 64.9. They have 35 sacks, most in the NFL, 10 interceptions, second most in the NFL. They are number one in third down percentage at 25.3%. Opponents' quarterbacks are averaging 4.78 net passing yards per play. That is the lowest in the NFL. So it is going to be very, very tough. I just hope all you want to see from Jason Campbell is the one stat that I went to, and that is, you know, he has never had more interceptions than touchdowns in any season in the NFL. And that alone would be an improvement for this Browns team vis-a-vis Brandon Whedon.
Right. Five games, six interceptions to five touchdown passes for Whedon, an AFC low 66.5 passer rating. So that pretty well speaks to the numbers point of it. And to the point of excitement or lack thereof. I don't think people are excited, nor would I say that they should be, nor would I expect them to be. The hope here is that something, anything good happens to this offense, that this team goes somewhere where it was going nowhere with Brandon Whedon. That's the hope. But the reality is to expect something miraculous, something amazing to happen with Jason Campbell is probably expecting too much. Now, I know those will chime in. Yeah, but you could have and probably did say the same thing about Brian Hoyer. True, Brian Hoyer went from third stringer to this miraculous story, this feel-good story. I'm not feeling the same thing happening here necessarily with Campbell, different quarterback. There's a larger body of work to judge him on versus Hoyer.
Hoyer was kind of an unknown.
Was unknown. He was writing his book. He was writing that script in front of us. Fresh stuff, and it was different, and people didn't know about him. And again, we say what might have been had he hung in there longer, stayed healthy, what it might have been when teams started to figure him out more, how those challenges would have worked. So there is a book on Campbell, a pretty solid book, and that is something that could also work against him or work against the Browns. But nonetheless, the change had to happen. I'm probably understating this by saying modest expectations. My expectations, especially for Sunday in Arrowhead Stadium, no less, all that crowd noise, they set the record there for noisiest place. That is an incredible challenge for offensive linemen to protect a quarterback, and they're going to have a heck of a hard time protecting a guy, who has that really long windup that Jason Campbell does. So I'm not encouraging people necessarily to say, yep, get excited about this. What you're happy about, what you're pleased about, is that Brandon Whedon's no longer the starter. That's what has you feeling good today, and that's not enough. That lasts for about 5 seconds. The rest of it is, where does the team go from here? 216-578-0850, Mark from Brook Park is with us now. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how are you, Vic?
Good, man. What you got?
Hey, one thing I haven't heard much of and just want to throw out there and listen to your comments, I see a possibility for the first half to be kind of poorly played fundamentally. If they could get over that, if they in Arrowhead, if they have a lot of false starts, a lot of having to take a timeout, a lot of holds because, you know, they're just being bombarded. I think if they can get through that cleanly, you know, they could have a decent showing. But I'm really concerned. I think we might see a lot in the first few possessions of some really bad fundamentals.
You just want to see any type of improvement. You want to see the ability to make some of those long handoffs, those short throws. And, yes, the fundamentals, being a quarterback, making decisions, you know, not holding the ball forever. Because you can't hold the ball forever against this Kansas City Chiefs team, by the way. They will sack you. They've done it 35 times already this season. 51 plays, they already have negative yardage plays against their defense. They've been unbelievable. They're only giving up, Vic, they're only giving up 11.6 points per game. That's the fewest in the NFL. They also have the biggest point differential average in the NFL in terms of their points for versus the points against them. So,
you know, I'm holding up, as you are, this big stat pack from the Chiefs.
It's pretty impressive.
It's impressive, but I don't even, like, the more I look at it, I kind of cover my eyes. It's like avert your eyes. It's like you don't want to see these, and it's just these numbers, but we have to tell the story, and they do tell a story, and they tell a very challenging, difficult, scary story about what they're all about, but that is what the challenge is this week. So you're going to find out very quickly, as this caller just said, we're going to find out right away, you know, if he can do it. Yeah.
And listen, he doesn't necessarily, you're not going to have a monster point explosion. Brian Hoyer was fortunate that his first start came against what has turned out to be a very suspect Minnesota Vikings defense. Very suspect in every regard. So that was good for him. Did very well. But again, the defense really helped win that game, as well as Hoyer, against the Bengals 17-6 in that one. This is a tough first game for Jason Campbell. In fact, I'd say it's as tough as can be. So just look for some signs of positivity. Look for what appears to be more competent quarterback play. Not holding the ball. Moving around in the pocket. Not staring down receivers. Not missing easy throws. Hopefully an improved accuracy over what the Cleveland Browns have gotten. I mean, even last year in Chicago, he completed 64% of his passes, even though he struggled quite a bit. So Jason Campbell, you're looking for nothing extraordinary. This is not, you're not all of a sudden going to get top 20 quarterback play in the National Football League with this switch, but you're looking for him to do enough to keep the offense moving, put some points on the board. And I think if you can have some decent drives with some length to them, convert some third downs, it's going to help this defense get back to where it was when the defense was playing very, very well against Cincinnati, for example. Because I think they've been on the field too much. I think that's helped struggled for them to get off the field on third downs. I think that having to face quarterbacks like Matt Stafford and Aaron Rodgers is not easy on any defense either.
No.
But defensively, this should be a decent matchup for the Browns. They run the ball very effectively with Jamaal Charles, but he really is their offense. Alex Smith hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in three straight games. So this is a game that the defense can hopefully keep Kansas City in check.
Separate from the quarterbacking conversation, this team should be able to rely on its defense. It shouldn't, that shouldn't be even a question, yet it is a little bit of a question in our mind in wake of what we saw last week. And again, you prefaced it by saying that was Aaron Rodgers, best quarterback in the league. Matthew Stafford, pretty good quarterback that they faced before that.
Yes.
But I'm not buying that this defense should be viewed as anything less than something to the level of dominance that we saw in the first few games. Paul Kruger's got to play better. You got to get better play out of him. Barkevious Mingo has got to be more consistent, and he's a rookie. He's learning. He's this. He's that. But you've got to see him bring it play after play if he's the guy. There are other rookies in this league, Kiko Alonso being one.
He's playing phenomenally well for the Buffalo Bills. Yeah.
And let's just so that you the excuses don't carry themselves in any meaningful way. So as a rookie, he's got to perform. And everybody else, Jabal Sheard, back from that knee injury, definitely needed, had some rust after missing three games, had some rust galore in Green Bay, was okay, was solid, but not the dominant guy we saw for the better part of two-plus games for this team. So the defense has to step. Joe Hayden, got to step up. Got to play to the level every week like we saw him play early on. Buster Skrine, we see him as the overachiever. Guess what? Got to keep overachieving, Buster.
Yes.
Deshaun Kipson, got to keep overachieving. You know, so keep playing at a high level. This defense has been never needed more than it is now.
You are right, and especially this week, because putting points on the board will be difficult for the offense. The only way to win will be to hold down the offense of the Kansas City Chiefs. And we're going to get into just how good this Chiefs defense has been. We're going to talk right now with Scott Petrak from the Elyria Telegram. He's coming up next here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Was I your hit and run? Left foot dead and now you're gone.